Have you ever saved all year for that one family vacation and ended up stressed out about every single dollar?
Not anymore. Hi, I'm Mary Ellen.
And I'm Jo. We're two busy moms who have cracked the code on travel with Points and Miles.
We're here to show you how we turn everyday expenses into extraordinary vacations.
This is Wonderland on Points, where we share tips and tricks to help you earn free and deeply discounted travel.
Let the adventure begin. Welcome back. We have a very exciting episode for you today. If you are following Joanna or myself on social media, then you have seen that we took a whirlwind weekend trip over to Vienna, Austria. We had an incredible time, and we are so excited today to be sharing all of our recommendations with you to help you plan your own trip to Vienna. So buckle up, Buttercup, because this is going to be fun.
You guys, this was such an incredible trip. And I think we started out to just kind of prove, maybe just to ourselves, that Europe can be done in a weekend. But we really wanted to share this with you guys because so many people feel bound to the US because of their PTO, because of their money. And we just really wanted to challenge that. I mean, with Points and Miles, we already know that we're challenging the expense of traveling all the time and trying to teach you how you can do this much, much cheaper. But when it comes to Europe, a lot of times I think that you can really see that the best a city has to offer in a long weekend. And we did it. Now, there are some things that we would do differently. So please, please make sure you stick around till the end, because I think we have a few nuggets throughout this episode that we think are very important to share with you that will help you have a smooth and wonderful experience. Certainly, it was not without bumps. We did plan it very, very last minute, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, we did very little planning for my family trips. That my husband, he makes a spreadsheet of basically every single minute of the day is planned out. And this one, we were kind of flying by the seat of our pants a little bit. We had some ideas from Instagrams, from reels that we had seen of places we'd like to visit. We reached out to the Vienna Tourism Board and we're like, hey, are there any really cool things that we should know about that we should visit? And they pointed us in the direction. They gave us a few little food vouchers so that we could try a couple restaurants that they thought were worth mentioning to you guys. So we tried everything out and we are here to report back of what we liked, what we would maybe skip next time, and what we wish we had more time for.
So we are going to start this episode from the airport. We have a completely separate episode breaking down our flights there and back and kind of comparing and contrasting that experience. So starting from the airport, we first arrived and I kind of wondered how easy it was going to be to figure out how to catch the train into the city. We had what's called CAT passes. The CAT train is the city airport train. So we had this pass that you can buy that covers, you can buy what's called a return pass. It covers your way there. It covers your way back. It's 24 euros, if I remember correctly. And it is easy. So maybe not the most budget option, but by far the most simple option. We had zero issues finding this train. There's a sign practically every five steps pointing you.
There could not have been more signs.
It's so funny. And we had our passes ahead of time, but there are also multiple options and opportunities to purchase your tickets from little kiosks along the way. So you really, really cannot miss it if that's the route you want to go. It really is simple and it's also the most direct route. So there is a cheaper, more budget-friendly option that is not quite as quick. Mary Ellen's going to go over that in a second. But with these CAT passes, it is free for kids under 15 years old, which is nice. That's a little bit of an extension pass where you see the quote unquote child's age a lot of times in other places.
Yeah, 15 is a little older, so I do appreciate that for family travelers. They advertise that it's 16 minutes from the airport to downtown Vienna on the CAT train, but it's worth noting that the CAT train only runs twice an hour, so it's not just running continuously. You do have the option of basically the, I will call it like a commuter rail, regular rapid transit subway system. And I believe it's the S7 S-Bahn is what they call the airport portion of that. It's called the U-Bahn in the city, the subway system. And then this works alongside the S-Bahn, which is more of the suburban train. So again, kind of think commuter rail train. You can take that into the city as well. It's just going to take stops. So it's not direct, but honestly, it's not that much longer either. So both are good options. Both are very easy. But man, that CAT train, you are going to see signs to it every few feet as you leave the airport. And it is great. It is very easy. But, you know, you have options.
It is worth noting that although the CAT goes directly to the city center, depending on where you are staying, you might need to hop on a separate train or streetcar to get you a little bit closer to your hotel. We had luggage, so naturally we wanted to get as close as we could, but we were trying to do public transportation and not take Ubers and that kind of thing. So we simply switched to the U3 line. It took us, I think, 3 or 4 stops. It was super, super easy to figure out. And once we got off at the Herengasse station, we were maybe a 5-minute walk from the Park Hyatt. We also had, for this trip, we had 7-day passes for all of the public transportation. So any ride that we needed to take was fully covered in that 7-day pass.
And that's on an app called Ivy. So if you are going to Vienna, it's worth at least investigating downloading the Ivy app, IVIE. There are, when you buy these city passes that give you public transportation throughout the week, you know, it also gives you discounts on some attractions. So it may or may not be worth it depending on which attractions you really want to take advantage of, what you want to see, or if you're mainly doing free activities. But download that app, take a look at that, and maybe you want to do that pass for the subway system so that you don't have to think about it.
Okay, so the Vienna City Card, and as Mariellen mentioned, it gives you the transportation, but there's also discounts on attractions. It's got the app. It's really, really easy and functional to use. For 7 days, you're looking at 39 euros, and that's just unlimited use within 7 days. You can also add to that, you can add airport transfers, you can add a hop on, hop off tour. So there are ways to make that even more robust. You also have an option for a 24 hour, a 48 hour, or a 72 hour. So there are a bunch of options. And I do think it's kind of just the easiest way to kind of pay once and then know that you can hop on and off whatever you need to. I think we ended up doing the math and feeling like if we were really going to be taking public transportation a number of places, it's definitely worth it to just have the pass and not worry about a one ride at a time situation. I also think it's important to note that the Vienna City Transit is on the honor system. And of course, I think it's very clear to listeners that we are both Christians and feel very strongly about our integrity and doing the right thing. So we have this pass, but at no point were we ever asked to show a ticket of any kind getting on any of the public transportation. But you do need to have one because they will, whenever they feel like it, just board a train or a streetcar and demand tickets of anybody. And you just don't know when that's going to happen. If you don't have one, I don't know what happens exactly. I can't imagine.
Don't want to find out.
No, I have no desire to find out whatsoever.
A lot of times they make you pay and you pay a fee because there are many countries that do it this way. Switzerland is another one of them. The CAT train, we did have someone scan our tickets, but on the U-Bahn, we never did. But a lot of times, if you don't have a ticket, maybe they'll make you pay for a ticket plus a little added fee. You don't want to be in that situation. But overall, I will say, depending on where you stay, that may also play into whether or not you want to get a pass, because the truth is we stayed at the Park Hyatt Vienna. We weighed a lot of options. The Andaz in Vienna comes highly recommended. People say great things about the Andaz, but the Park Hyatt is a category 7, and we were there for off-peak pricing, which meant only 25,000 points a night. And when you can stay at a Park Hyatt for 25,000 points a night, I mean, the location of this Park Hyatt is so good. It is right in the middle of where you want to be. All the most beautiful things. St. Stephen's Cathedral, which is an absolute architectural masterpiece. Mm-hmm. You are steps away from it. You do not need to get on the train because you are right there. Demel, which everyone seems to love. The Austrian National Library, walking distance. I mean, all of the things that we wanted to do were within walking distance. So we almost didn't need public transportation.
No, I mean, if you truly are only there for a little bit of time and you don't plan on seeing anything outside of District 1, you could easily make a full weekend trip with things to do and see every single day and never leave a walking distance area. There were a few things that we wanted to see. And full transparency, most of the things that we went to do did have an entry fee. A lot of the free things are in different parts of the city and would require some of the transportation. I did have a list of free places, but we ended up opting for things that were close by rather than spending time on the travel, just because we realistically did not have that much time because we chose to do a day trip to Hallstatt on one of our days.
Yeah. So our days were, we had three pretty much full days there. We did two in Vienna in the city, and one was a day trip out to Hallstatt, which we'll tell you about. So that was kind of, as we're going through this, what you can think about. We had 2 days in the city and then Hallstatt. But let's first focus in on the Park Hyatt. Oh,
take me back.
We're telling you, oh my gosh, take me back. Overall impressions and location were just perfection. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's an old bank that has been converted into a hotel. The breakfast area, and they also have a restaurant there in the evening, which we did eat there one night. Absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous facility.
It really is. I mean, it was just a marvel. And I've been in the Park Hyatt in New York as well. And I loved the Park Hyatt Vienna so much more. I mean, maybe it's because you're in Vienna. Maybe it's just because of the history is just, it's absolutely steeped in it. You could walk out the front door and you're in a square where, according to our tour guide, there were both joustings and executions. It's amazing. And the rooms, I love the way that they are decorated. They still have the modern touches that you want to see in a Park Hyatt, but they have this rich, old elegance to them that made me very, very happy. I am absolutely obsessed with windows that open in a hotel. And we're unclear if every window in this hotel in all of the rooms opens or if it's just some of the suites. I have no idea. I would hope it's all of them. There is nothing that I like more than fresh air in my hotel, than a view out a window that is open. And man, we just had it all. I was extremely impressed with the property, beyond impressed with the food. I mean, if we had an unlimited budget, we wouldn't have needed to eat anywhere else. It was so good.
It was so good. We did apply a guest of honor booking to this stay, a guest of honor award, which gave us free breakfast the 3 days that we were there. However, please do not be like us. We had very poor planning, and the day we did the day tour to Hallstatt, we had to leave at 6:45 a.m. And guess what time breakfast opened? 7 a.m. So we did not get to enjoy the breakfast that day.
So
the day that we were leaving, our flight was so early in the morning that we again had to leave before breakfast was open. So of our three mornings in Vienna, we only got to enjoy the breakfast buffet one time. And that is my biggest regret in all of this, because it was amazing.
Guys,
this is the property to use a guest of honor award if you can, because I don't know that I've ever seen a breakfast buffet as big as this one. I mean, again, you guys know that I don't have a refined palate. There was caviar. There was a little caviar station. There was super fancy stuff, but you could also get your omelet and your eggs, your pastries, everything, literally anything, fresh fruit, anything you can think of that you might want was on that breakfast buffet.
It was, I mean, I dream about this breakfast buffet, and the fact that we only got it one day is like physically painful to my entire body. I will say that the hotel was wonderful. The staff, every person on that staff that we interacted with was just an incredible experience. We loved them all so much, cheerfulness and just ready to problem solve and help. And they were so kind to literally box us some items to take with us on our tour, since we were not going to be able to stay for the breakfast that day. Our last day, we did not even ask because we figured it would just be easier to get something at the airport in one of the lounges or whatever. So the hotel is extremely wonderful and accommodating and was just absolutely lovely.
Yeah, shout out to Jonas, who is the one who we coordinated with to get those breakfast boxes. He was so friendly. I enjoyed just, he was there several of the days that we were there. And when we walked back in the hotel, he was there at the little concierge desk, just smiling at us, waving at us, the friendliest.
So friendly.
And also, it is killing me that I don't know the name of the woman who was working at breakfast. She, right when we came into the breakfast, she had these little shots of juice. She was like, just, we want to be healthy. She was the smiliest person I've ever met in my life. She was so excited
lovely.
To tell us about this juice, this fresh pressed juice that had celery and something else. Honestly, you know, I don't like weird things. This juice was good.
It was delicious.
It was delicious. And she was lovely. So loved that. But let's talk about the dinner, because we actually had a birthday dinner for you, which was really special, in the Park Hyatt restaurant. And I think both of us, tell me if this is fair to say, both of us would say that the single, if we had to pick one thing that was our favorite thing we ate in Vienna at all the places, our one favorite thing, both of us would say something different, but both of us ate it at that Park Hyatt restaurant.
Yes, 100%. And lucky for you guys, you could go and replicate our two favorite things and really not blow your budget. I think what I love so much about this restaurant is that you can piece some stuff together. If you are coming here on points, chances are you have a lot more to spend and invest in other parts of your trip, such as the food. This is where I would recommend a splurge. We both had steaks and they were incredibly delicious, but that's not even the food item that we are talking about here. I personally had a dessert that will haunt my memory for the rest of time. I even tried to get the same dessert somewhere else during our trip, and it did not even come close. Okay? This apple strudel was so incredible. I don't know what kind of pastry they make this with. It was flaky. It was crispy. It was cinnamony. It was hot. And then it came with this vanilla sauce that I could have just eaten all by itself with a spoon, happily. I am not even really a fruit and dessert type person. I'm not even sure what made me order this. It just struck me as something that sounded really nice after the meal that I had, so I kind of ordered it on a whim. And when I tell you, I don't think I've ever tasted anything that I like that much. I mean it very sincerely.
Yeah. You were obsessed, and I was obsessed with the fries, because I got fries with my steak, of course, as I do, and they were the best fries I've had in my entire life. I cannot even tell you. We asked our waiter, because we were like, you have to tell us what has happened here, because these are unlike any fries I've ever had in my life. They are so good. And he said something about garlic butter was involved and soaking them in something, and they were to die for. So if you stay at this Park Hyatt, at least, even if you don't eat in the restaurant, I don't know if they have to go at the bar, maybe you can get, because they do have a really gorgeous bar there. If you go for some drinks one evening, get yourself an apple strudel and some fries, because they are to die for.
Yeah, you will not regret it at all. You at least have to try those two things, if not some of the other more adventurous things on the menu. I am not a picky eater, but even I gravitated straight towards the steak because it is my favorite food on the planet. And man, it was good. And I told Mary Ellen this. I've had steak in a lot of nice steak-focused restaurants in my life, and this was one of the best that I've ever had. And obviously, it's not a steakhouse. It's just a restaurant that does a steak really, really well. So all around, 10 out of 10, excellent birthday dinner. As she said, both of us had our favorite food of the entire trip at the Park Hyatt. So you don't even have to go anywhere. You could just live in the Park Hyatt for the weekend and never take a step outside and still have an amazing experience. Although I don't recommend it. And you may want
to. Yeah, I don't recommend it. The rest of Vienna is lovely, incredible. But you may want to because the Park Hyatt is, we have, you know, only good things to say. Loved it. But on our first day, so we arrived, we rode the train, we found the Park Hyatt, and then we went on a walking tour. And I think we both agree that this was a great way to kick off our trip because a walking tour helps you really get the city, wrap your mind around the city, helps you kind of figure out where things are, gives you a really good overview, points of interest that then you want to go back to later on your trip. And we did. Some of the things that we saw on the walking tour then after when we had another day to go back, we went back to certain places. So we loved our local guide. The Park Hyatt helped coordinate this for us. They can coordinate some things like that for you if you'd like. Or we also have the name and contact information for our guide because we really loved her. And so we're going to put that in the show notes because if you want to contact her directly, then feel free to do that as well because we bonded with her over being moms. She is the mom of an 11-year-old. We both have kids in that range. And so it was really sweet to kind of bond with her over that and feel like we had another girlfriend. We were like a trio walking around the city having fun and she was showing us around her neighborhood, you know?
Yeah, Dr. Ingrid was absolutely fantastic. If you're staying somewhere besides the Park Hyatt, I would definitely recommend contacting her directly and setting this up yourself. As Mary Ellen mentioned, if you're staying at the Park Hyatt, they can do it for you. You know, I'm sure they contract with a number of Vienna tour guides. Austria has some rules about their tour guides. You have to be a resident of the place you're giving a tour of in order to become a licensed guide, and you do have to be licensed. They have little tags that they wear. So you know that you are really getting kind of the best of the best when it comes to these tours. You are getting information straight through the eyes of somebody who lives there, who's experienced it, who is steeped in the history. And it was so interesting hearing so much about what we got to see for the next couple of days and just understanding the depth of everything that went on there. It was such a fun way to start the trip. I would absolutely recommend it. And it made it so much easier for us to navigate after that point and to decide what we really wanted to focus on in terms of activities on Sunday.
Yeah, no matter where you're going in the world, consider doing a walking tour to start your trip. I think it's a really great way to kick off any trip. So that was our first day. We arrived, we rode the train in, we went on a walking tour, we had dinner for Joanna's birthday to celebrate her at the Park Hyatt. And that was kind of all of day one. We ventured out a little bit on our own, but then came day two. Day two, we had booked through TripAdvisor. We tried to stack it through Cap One offers on a really big multiplier day. I don't know if it was 30X was supposed to be the multiplier. We booked these tours through TripAdvisor to go to Hallstatt, which is in the Lakes region of Austria. It was a full day trip that took us to several other spots in the Lakes region. One where the Sound of Music, the wedding scene where they exited the church out onto this little plaza. We went there, which was cool to be in a filming location for that. And then Hallstatt is so well known because it's, you know, that and Flom, Norway, I guess it's a toss-up. They both kind of claim maybe they were the inspiration for Arendelle and Frozen. And so we got to enjoy that trip.
This was expensive, guys. I do not, as a rule, usually spend more than $100 per person on an activity. I mean, that's just kind of something that I've set for myself. When I do things with my daughter, you best believe things are sitting closer to about 60 or less per person per activity if I can help it. This one was about, I want to say $230 a person or something in that range. We did look up the company. It's called White Alligator Tours. You can book directly through their website, and it is actually a little tiny bit cheaper. It was about $20 a person cheaper. And if you do that, we would highly recommend you try to book with Peter. He was our guide for this trip, and we absolutely loved Peter. He was excellent. From the moment that that car picked us up at our hotel, we were learning. It made that drive fly by. I thought it was going to be so excruciating driving that many hours. It was not. It just felt like what? It's been an hour and now we're stopping at this next cute little town and I've learned so much. It was an excellent compliment to the walking tour because it gave us some broader Vienna history on our way out of town. And then we got to learn about all of these super fun little lakeside villages, which, by the way, we went through a number of them in that lakes district. And Peter said that in the warm weather months, if you're feeling particularly adventurous, that you can drive through these towns and people will have literal signs out saying that there is vacancy in their bed and breakfast properties. And you can just go up old school, knock on the door and get a room. He said that these bed and breakfasts in like Attersee am Attersee and Unterach am Attersee, he said that you can be staying for 50 to 70 euros a night, get huge breakfasts. All you have to do is look for the rooms available sign and then knock on the door. And this might not be a great move for people with families, but as a person who loves last minute, spontaneous, adventurous kind of things like this, this has gone on my bucket list as something that I must try someday, is going with no place to stay and seeing what happens. But bring cash if you do, because oh my goodness.
You need cash. So I don't like to travel with cash. I don't ever use cash in my daily life. But in most of these little lakes region town areas, and even some in Vienna, such as a sausage stand that we enjoyed, and we'll tell you about in a little bit, they wanted cash. They wanted euros. And we really did not have any cash because, you know, we travel a lot. On my trip to Europe this summer, I went through France, I went through Belgium, I went all these places. Never once did I have to have cash. I tapped my phone, even in the tiny little village in France near Normandy, I tapped with my phone. So being that we kind of planned this last minute, we didn't even go through the hassle of exchanging for, you know, euros. And it probably would have, we were fine, even in Hallstatt, where a lot of the places only took cash. There were some places like the bakery that did allow you to pay with your credit card. You could tap with your phone. So we did that, but it limits your options because a lot of the small places much prefer you to have cash. So consider that for sure. I think that what you were talking about, Joe, would be charming. It also makes me think of some kind of slasher movie and makes me a little nervous knocking on a random door being like, you got a room? I'm going to stay the night. And
what? I'm going to do
it. I'm sure it would be so safe, but you know, that's where my mind goes. But let me say this, because we battled with the decision of booking the White Alligator Tour versus you can get to Hallstatt on public transportation. You can take a train there.
Yeah.
However, it's a little complicated. There's some changing trains involved. And then there's something about being on a tour where you have door-to-door service. You don't have to think because this tour guide is in charge of you, taking care of you. They know the way. You're not stressing of, are we getting on the right train or not? And then it was snowing for us. So we went in January. It was the off season, which was great because there were no crowds in Vienna like there normally are during Christmas or maybe the warmer months. So it was wonderful to be there in the off season, but it was snowing and it was snowing pretty heavily at one point. And on our drive back to Vienna, our sweet tour guide Peter was white knuckling it. I mean, he was really having to concentrate to drive us safely back to Vienna. And he did mention, you know, on trains, when there's bad weather, there can be delays too. And then I'm running scenarios in my mind of if we had just ridden public transportation and the train was delayed or canceled and we're stuck in this village where there is no hotel, like what would we have done if we had gotten stuck there overnight?
Without
these
cash.
These places, these are without cash in this tiny town. I mean, I know we paid more for the tour, but I really appreciated, I think, not having to think about it and knowing that our tour guide was going to get us back safely no matter what, or he's a local, he knows what to do, he knows maybe where we could stay. You know, in the event of an emergency, he could come up with a better plan than maybe we could as foreigners with no local currency and no knowledge of the local situation.
Yeah, 100%. It was worth every penny, in my opinion. And it's just another example of when we're not spending $6,000 on our flight, or even, you know, $900 for our flight home or whatever, you just have margin that you can make these splurges. And especially when you're on such a tight schedule, not having to mess with the trains to go that far. And of course, it takes longer to do it that way. It was absolutely the right call. And it allowed us to see a bunch of things along the way and learn a lot. It was excellent. I will say that I want people to temper their expectations when it comes to views. I mean, this is a thing literally everywhere. Mary Ellen went to the Grand Canyon once and famously could not see anything. And
correct. Not a bit.
I had gotten my heart so gosh darn high about the idea of seeing these mountains. I love mountains. The videos and the pictures that I have seen of Hallstatt surrounded by the mountains are just so incredible. And I was so excited for that. Now, I also love charming little towns. That's one of my favorite things in the entire universe, is like a little quaint town that you can just walk around and go into shops. Like, I love that. But what we were not expecting is, because it was actively snowing and some parts raining for some of this day, the thick fog had rolled in, and it truly was as if the mountains did not exist. You could not make head nor hair of them. And that took me a little bit, because my hopes were so set on seeing that. I hadn't read anything that was like, be careful because on a foggy day you might not see them. Like, even the tour guide said, no, this is unusual. It's usually crystal clear all the time. And I was like, oh, thank you for that. That's great.
That was the local tour guide.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't mention that. So as with Vienna, the rules for Hallstatt are the same. Only a local can be your tour guide. So Peter handed us off to this lovely woman who took us on an actual tour of Hallstatt when we got there. And then we had several hours of free time to explore on our own. But I asked her, I said, is this normal that you can't see the mountains? And she was like, no, absolutely not. This is not normal. This never happens. You can always.
You're like,
see the
okay,
mountains.
Great, thanks.
I was like, I should not have.
Could
asked.
You have lied to me? Just tell me. Just tell me. Yeah, it's like this most of the time.
Just tell me it's Seattle, and it's always rainy and cloudy and foggy, and can't see anything. Anyways, we found that the best tactic for that, if you go and you experience this yourself, just pretend there were never mountains there to begin with. And just pretend
That's right.
It's the most precious little town of 750 people that you've ever seen. And then you will enjoy it. And honestly, the snow was magical. I loved the fact that it was snowing on this town. That I thought it was amazing. I mean, we were both properly dressed, which, that helps. Go get yourself some wool clothing rentals from Nuuly, because that is what I did. And that was such a game changer.
And please, waterproof shoes.
Poor Australian friends on this tour with us did not have waterproof shoes. The man was wearing Vans and the woman was wearing boots that were not waterproof. And I just wanted to scoop them up.
I should not laugh.
Warm their feet by the fire. It looked miserable. It was very wet and soupy on the ground because they salt everything very well. We'll explain why they're so excellent at salting things, I think, in a moment. But I do just want to put that out there. No matter where you go, keep your expectations reasonable and be ready to, at a moment's notice, be flexible mentally and otherwise.
Mentally. That's right. So Hallstatt, we will get into it since we're chatting about it, is home to the oldest salt mine in the world. It's over 7,000 years old, yes. I think they said, which is crazy. So there are a lot of little shops there that are selling salt from the salt mine in various forms. However, hot tip, there's also a little market for the locals. This is a tiny town. So these locals shop at this tiny little market, and it has salt for about 99 cents. So if you really just want like table salt, but you want it to be from the oldest salt mine in the world, go to the market. You can use your credit card there because that's mm-hmm. what we did. And you can check out with salt from that. Something else the tour guide told us that made me laugh was while we were there, there is a waterfall, a massive tall waterfall, and it was all frozen over, which was so cool. I mean, icicles all the way down, really cool experience. Actually, near the bottom, though, I have video you may have seen on my social media on Reels. The water was still moving behind the initial facade of ice. And when we got down into the city, I looked up and we saw an ice climber climbing up the waterfall. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. That must be really normal here. People must do this all the time. And our tour guide who lives there said she had never seen that before. She was shocked and was like, I hope this is a local because does this person know what they're doing? This looks so dangerous. So it definitely put it into a different light to have that local be like, no, actually that is not normal at all. Kind of like the fog. It's interesting though, because on my reel on Instagram, I did have someone comment and explain to me because I was concerned that the water was, you could actively see water running. So I was like, this isn't that frozen to be climbing up it. But somehow in the ice climbing world, I guess it's a little better that way. I don't know. Read the Instagram comments. Someone who knew what they were talking about commented and enlightened me a little bit. But at the same time as I see an ice climber one direction, the other direction, we see people doing a polar plunge and not just jumping into the near frozen lake and hopping right back out. They were swimming laps. They had a little buoy attached to them because goodness knows my heart would stop instantly upon entering that cold water. But they had their swim caps on and they were just making a little lap out of it. And that was pretty amazing.
It was certainly wild. That would be a hard pass for me, but entertaining nonetheless. As we mentioned, not having cash, our food options were very limited to kind of like three or so main places. And while we were there, it was, lunchtime and there were some waits. And so we kind of ended up walking around and making our way down to the far end of the village where we actually found the traditional Austrian bakery. I'm not sure what it's called. I have a video of the front of the building, but it has many names on it. And I don't know which one is the actual name.
On the sign, so our tour guide actually mentioned this bakery. She said it's at the end of the row of all the shops and things. And it says on the sign, it just says traditional Austrian bakery. So the mm-hmm. sign that comes out from the door. So you won't miss it. There's not, multiple bakeries really to get lost in. This is a very, very small building. Town.
Yeah, I mean, you can't miss
yellow with green signs.
It takes cards, and it has absolutely delicious baked goods. They have cold sandwiches and also kind of, like a ham and cheese croissant kind of thing. That's not exactly what it was, but there was a lot of savory options as well as sweet options. They had coffee. They had tea. Honestly, we didn't need anything else in terms of sustenance, and it was just so nice to be able to use our card somewhere. I think we both went a little bit overboard. At least I went overboard.
We did. We did.
Buying all the baked goods. I was like, I need things to snack on. And then, of course, I also got milk from there. They had a little fridge with some loaves. They had some cheese and other things that you could buy, which I love. I didn't buy anything but the milk, but it's my mission to taste milk in every country I go to. So done. It was delicious, in case you wanted to know. But hopefully you just won't make the same mistake as us, and then you can eat anywhere you want. But we went up to a number of restaurants and either asked or saw that they had cash-only signs, and it did make our options very limited.
Another thing that we had fun seeing, we went with this tour guide, the walking tour first, and she took us. There's actually two churches, which is very unusual, especially in a tiny village like this. Typically, there's a Catholic church, but there was actually a Protestant church too. The more picturesque one that when you see Hallstatt is actually the Protestant church, which is very unusual for Austria. But the Catholic Church, something that was very interesting, we went in the Catholic Church, and then she took us around to their little graveyard, and they have, what would you call it, a crypt there? They have a little building outside the Catholic Church where she said they have this very unique process that's unusual. Many other places don't have it, where because they don't have a lot of space to bury people, at some point over the last hundreds of years, they decided eventually, after a certain number of years, they would dig people back up. They would then put their bones in this other building, but they decorate the skulls, a bone house. They decorate the skulls, and you can actually go in it. They ask for a little donation of a few euros to go in and see the painted skulls.
Yeah, and I really wanted to go in, but again, since we did not have cash, we, you know, I feel like they probably would have, we could have gone in without the donation, but that didn't really feel like the right thing to do, so we did not. It's just such an interesting concept, and apparently people could write into their wills whether or not they someday wanted to be included in the bone house. So there is one resident that has recently passed away who did say that he wanted to be in the bone house one day, but then at this point it would be up to his family, you know, in a certain number of years, however many years have to pass before you can remove a skull from a grave and paint it and put it in a building, to see whether or not he will end up there. But in general, I feel like she said there's over 1,000 people in there. Is that correct? Do you remember that?
I can't remember the number, but it was very interesting. And that church and that graveyard sit kind of atop the town, and you can see the lake. There's a really nice viewpoint up there. So definitely you should, the town is small, so you can definitely walk pretty much every inch of it and get a lot of different viewpoints. And we definitely would recommend that you do. And overall, what do you think, Joe, with only 3 days in Austria, would you take a day again, if you only had three, to do this day trip? Do you think you need more time, less time? Are you glad that we did a day trip?
Okay, this is something that I've thought long and hard about. So if 2 of our 3 days were both not Sunday, then I would do it again. If 1 of our days was as it was this time around, a Sunday, for reasons we will shortly disclose to you, I would not take one of my Vienna days to go do a day trip. I do think everyone should see Hallstatt. It's incredible. But if you're only going for 3 days and one of your days in Vienna is a Sunday, in fact, go to Hallstatt on Sunday, maybe. Or I don't know, maybe everything there. We haven't. I'll just get straight to it. Everything in Vienna closes on Sundays. Okay. I don't know if it's the same in Hallstatt. I don't know if this is an all over Austria thing. No one told us. Of all the bazillions of reels that I have been targeted for, so many. I get Austria and Vienna in my feed constantly. Not a single person, I'm about to make one, so I will be the person, has posted a reel saying, FYI, every single shop in this city closes on Sundays. I thought our Sunday was going to be meandering the shops. There were so many places I wanted to go inside. That did not happen.
Yeah. I had a listener actually reach out to our Austria stories and say, hey, do you think if I only have 2 or 3 days, is it worth going to Vienna? And I said, you know, changing her plans, rerouting her Europe trip to have some days in Vienna. I said, yes, I think 2 full days in Vienna is great. You could probably do everything you wanted to do, as long as one is not a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So don't let that one be a Sunday. Now, restaurants were open. The Schönbrunn Palace that we're going to tell you about, that was open on Sunday. The Austrian National Library, the Beauty and Beast-inspired library, that was open on Sunday. So there are things open, but a lot of the shops, if you want to do some shopping, especially along those gorgeous, beautiful streets right in the center of Vienna, those were closed except for a couple tourist shops that have only the tourist
mugs, ornaments.
What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah.
Souvenirs.
souvenir shop. There we go. That is open, but none of the other shops were open. So that's a really great point. So I loved doing the day trip. I think I would do a day trip again, but exact same thought process. It'd be great if we didn't have a Sunday where things were closed.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, that never even occurred to me. We're so used to things in the U.S. being open on Sundays. A lot of places close on Mondays, actually. So if you do really envision yourself getting to kind of do a slow travel immersion where you wander around and go into all these local places, that will not be happening on Sunday. And it is another one of the things that I wish I had known, because I would do things slightly differently. But you guys listen to us, so you won't make our mistakes. We've made them for you, so you don't even have to.
That's right. Okay, so let's roll into our third day, which was a Sunday that we explored Vienna. And the first thing we did after enjoying the fantastic breakfast buffet at the Park Hyatt is we searched online. We kind of debated whether or not we wanted to go to Schönbrunn Palace. And for anyone, I did not know this ahead of time, there's a show on Netflix called The Empress. If anyone has watched that, this is that. This is that. And so the Empress Sissy. She didn't like that. Elizabeth, they call her in the show, but Sissy is what you see written on a lot of things. It's about her history and so much more. There is unbelievable amounts of history at this place, and it's a large palace. We kind of debated whether to go or not, and we got differing opinions depending on who we asked, whether it was worth it. But we decided we wanted to go for it. So we bought tickets online that morning. They were about $30, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And then we rode the U-Bahn down a few stops, hopped on a streetcar, which was not hard. It wasn't hard to figure out or transfer. And we both really enjoyed the palace. I think had I already watched The Empress, which you had a little bit more background knowledge into that era, that history there. So I think maybe it was super up your alley. I love World War II history, and Austria has a lot of that too, of course. You know, Hitler gave a very famous speech. Hitler is very ensconced in Austrian history. He's Austrian. So I don't know. I enjoyed the palace. I've been to a lot of palaces. I don't know that I liked it better than palaces I've been to other places, but it was certainly beautiful. There were a couple rooms that were just really magnificent. And since then, I have been watching The Empress on Netflix, and it has made me enjoy the show even more now that I've been to the palace.
Yeah, I mean, having seen some of the show before going and having that understanding did make it so much more interesting. I mean, you have such a clear view of these people and their lives, and then you're standing in these rooms that they stood in and lived in and interacted in, and it's just kind of, it's so real and it's crazy. And the tour does come with a really nice little audio device that gives you narration as you're walking through, and it's really well done. It's a nice, easy to listen to voice. There's some initial rooms that have these very cool projections on the wall that help kind of bring the whole thing to life. In terms of tours that I've been on in, you know, palaces or museums or anything like that, I thought this was well done and made it very interesting. I can't say that I saw any kids while we were there. I'm not sure I would spend that to take my daughter. Like, it was beautiful, but she's not super interested in like learning the history. And I'm not sure it would have been worth the amount of money just to see the beauty without learning the history, because there are so many beautiful places in Vienna. Like, if you want to go see some of those stunning painted ceilings, there are other places that you can go that are cheaper or free and don't involve the whole history lesson. I personally love that. Like, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I do remember one crying baby, which I do not judge the parents, not at all. I took a toddler into the Anne Frank house, so I would have done it too. I would have taken my baby if I had the baby there. But yeah, you have to kind of know your kid and know whether they would find it interesting or not. I don't think it's high on my list of recommendations for small children, but it also isn't impossible. There were a couple, so you just have to kind of know your kid. So after Schönbrunn Palace, we had some lunch, and we'll kind of go over those other dining options in a minute. But then we went over to the Austrian National Library, and this was really something that you were looking forward to. Both of us, I think, love Beauty and the Beast. I mean, that's one of my favorite Disney movies. So the thought that the Beast Castle, the library, was inspired by this, that alone made it magical. And then, of course, it was absolutely stunning in its own right. You know, forget Beauty and the Beast. It's just stunning.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being a little girl and seeing that scene for the first time. I remember so vividly. And I also remember believing that nowhere like this existed on the earth. And so the idea of getting to actually step into a library that is truly this spectacular, I have never seen anything like that in person. It was very emotional for me and absolutely beautiful. It was pretty crowded. I can't imagine what that place must be like when it is peak season, because it was the off season and there True. Were a ton of people in there. That was a little disappointing because I think a lot of the places that we had gone had been relatively empty. So I kind of hoped we would have like a bunch of this library to ourselves. That was not the case. So I think you guys just prepare yourself that the crowds all over Vienna, especially if you're going not in the winter, you might be a lot to compete with.
Yeah, I think you think of libraries as quiet and empty.
Yes.
And so, yeah, having people there, you know, you do need to put that in your expectation. You don't see that in the reels, right? Instagram versus reality. You don't see all the people. And I agree. I mean, most of Vienna, we hit it at a fantastic time, mm-hmm. I think. The Christmas markets of December are past. People say it is packed. That is the busiest time of year in Vienna. Absolutely packed. We didn't have any of that, yet we had the gorgeous lighted chandelier still hanging mm-hmm. in the streets, all the lights up. It was snowy. It was so charming. And there were so few people, I think, comparatively to those higher seasons yes. that I really enjoyed the time of year we went. I think this, you know, first couple weeks of January,
yes.
I would recommend it to other people because we've mm-hmm. got the Park Hyatt off season on points. We got to see all the beautiful things with less people. So the library was one of the places we saw a little bit more people, but overall, it was fantastic. Timing, I think, for us to have less crowded spots. After the library, we went to Demel, which is the inspiration for one of our reels that we've already put out. If you follow our Instagrams, you will see that was really, honestly, well, we already said that in a different episode that we really chose Vienna because we got a flight deal.
Yes.
But the other reason we chose it is because of seeing a reel about Demel.
It's very true. Once I saw the reel about these scrambled pancakes, I was like, this is it. Gotta go eat those. I mean, they are very, very popular. It is a traditional Austrian pancake that is called Kaiserschmarrn, and it is big and fluffy, and they scramble it. You can watch them make it, which is very fun. And it comes with this stewed plum sauce. But we highly recommend you add the vanilla sauce, which is the same vanilla sauce that came with my apple strudel at the Park Hyatt. And so we really came all this way to taste this pancake. What is funny is that because I had already had the apple strudel at the Park Hyatt, when I saw it on the demo menu, I was like, oh, I have to have that instead. So I ended up just tasting Mary Ellen's Kaiserschmarrn, and I got the apple strudel, which, sorry, Demel, did not even come close. I would not recommend it, to be honest. Go get it at the Park Hyatt. Save the Kaiserschmarrn and the hot chocolate at Demel. Those were both very nice.
Yes, we both got hot chocolate and loved that. I think overall, it was such a cute coffee house.
So
it can have, when you're there, the busier times of year, it can have very, very long lines and wait. We did not have to wait long at all. We walked straight in. You find a set of stairs that goes upstairs for seating. And we had to wait in the stairs, honestly, I don't think more than about 10 minutes. It wasn't that long. The line moved pretty quickly. And they were getting people in and out of that place pretty fast.
Yes.
So it's beautiful. You get to see people making it. It's a very charming environment. I'm glad that we went, and I'm glad we were there at a low season so that we were able to get in and experience it without having waited an hour,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. And if you want to, you don't have to sit down and get a table. You can still try the stuff, get a drink. The downstairs area, they have to-go options. So you can order things and take them to go with you, which is, you know, that's a great option if you don't want to spend your time sitting down, especially if you're on a time crunch.
Yeah. So after demo, we kind of wandered around the beautiful city streets a little bit. And then we went back to the Park Hyatt because there's actually a pool, an indoor pool at the Park Hyatt that's in a bank vault that we wanted to explore. I think we were hoping that there was some kind of hot tub situation. There was not. So it is just a pool. I found the pool to be warm enough. Jo decided it was not quite warm enough for her. So she went to the sauna. There is a sauna there. So it is lovely. All that is in the spa, kind of in the downstairs basement of the Park Hyatt. So take a bathing suit with you. Even if you're going in January, you may want to enjoy that if pools are kind of up your alley, if you like to swim laps or enjoy yourself in that way. But what I think we were sad that we missed out on, because this is kind of it. Those were our days were fast and they were full and we enjoyed every second of it. One thing that we didn't get to do that I think we wish we would have is go in St. Stephen's Cathedral, because we did see it from the outside a number of times on our walking tour when we went out for really late night McDonald's. Think of it like midnight Waffle House or something in college. You know, we went out for a late night snack and got some bad McDonald's for us. But it was so weird to be getting McDonald's right beside this majestic cathedral that has a roof that is, I don't know, it may be, this is wild to say, but it may be one of my favorite architectural pieces in the entire world. It's truly really magnificent.
Special. Yeah, I was pretty disappointed that we didn't get to go in as well. I think it was hard because when we were wrapping up demo at this point, it was already dark. And things were starting to wind down and to close, and we had to pack. We hadn't gone to the pool yet. We had a really early flight. So I think we just decided to head back, and I think we both regretted it, especially as we were making that late night McDonald's run and saw it kind of close up.
We did admire it again from the outside. We sure did. So we spent some time taking it in and admiring it from the outside. But well, man, it would have been nice to go in. So make sure that's on your itinerary. And then we want to leave you. We're kind of wrapping up here, but we do want to tell you a couple other dining options that we tried while we were there. There was one little sausage stand that we tried after we got it after we got back from our day trip. So we went out, we walked to it from the Park Hyatt.
7 minutes.
And we had it for our dinner.
Yeah, it's a quick walk. It's 7 minutes. It does not feel like 7 minutes. I will mention that I decided to pay for international day passes the whole time we were on the trip. T-Mobile has them for $5 for a day or $35 for a 10-day. So I obviously, it being very short, just did the $5 a day option. That was helpful. We didn't have to download any maps or anything. My phone just worked. And I put everything into Apple Maps or Google Maps.
Yeah, Google Maps.
It was so easy. It was easy with the transit. It would tell us exactly what line to get on, exactly where to switch, everything. It was made it extremely easy, but we navigated over to this little sausage stand, and I got the spicy cheese sausage. It was so good. Kaiserkrainer is how it is probably not pronounced. That's how it's spelled and looks phonetically in English. And it was the spicy one. It was amazing. So traditionally, they slice this sausage, give you like a mustard or a sweet mustard on the side, give you a slice of bread. And that's kind of what you, that's very traditional. You can also get things on a bun if you want it. And then they have some sides options. I had these truffle fries that changed my life. I think I licked that little paper bowl when I was done to get the rest of like the truffle sauce stuff that was at the bottom. It was so good.
Yeah. And I got regular fries. My fries were like $6. The truffle fries were about $9. My sausage was more of a plain sausage, whereas it had cheese, mm-hmm. but it was just cheese. And then Joanna's was the spicy cheese. And I will say, we both agreed, I tasted hers, the spicy was better. And it wasn't unbelievably spicy. So if you can handle any spice at all, I think both of us would recommend you go for the spicy one instead.
Yeah. I mean, I would Google ahead of time because they offer a number of different types of sausage. It was nice for me to know before going in, like what each of those kind of were. And then when I got there, I just asked the man what his recommendation was, because that's what I really want to know. Like, what do you think is the best? That's what I would like. He's the one that recommended the spicy cheese sausage, and it was excellent. What I love about Vienna is you could do it expensive food-wise, but then you also have these great little carts where you can get a meal for 10 or 15 bucks. And it is very filling. It is very delicious. There's also lovely markets and grocery stores. You know how much we like that. If we had had more time, you know I would have been in Aldi trying to get some international snacks and things like that. I mean, there is really a way to do it where you've got some splurge and you've got some budget. I would go back to Vienna. And I don't always
100%.
Yeah, I don't always say that. Like, sometimes a place I've been and I don't know if I need to go back. There's more I want to see and do. I want to take more of a slow meandering approach. I want to go in some shops. I want to eat some more food. I want to bring some cash.
Yeah. And we're going to put the exact name of that sausage stand in our show notes. Mm-hmm. We'll put a link to it so you can check it out ahead of time. We also went to a traditional Viennese tavern and we got schnitzel. Now it's traditionally veal, but we got a pork schnitzel, and occasionally you might can find a chicken option. So that was pretty good too. If you want to try like traditional Viennese fare, we'll put the link to it as well in our show notes so that you have the exact ones that we visited, just because both of them were fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the sausage stand I love.
Yeah. And I feel like in order to kind of, you know, I wouldn't think people who have a pickier food sense maybe would be into traditional Viennese food. I'm kind of game to try anything. I was excited to try it. And I really liked the environment of that restaurant that we tried. I thought that it had this really quaint tavern feel, but then there were also some rooms up front that were really beautiful. It was kind of like sitting in a greenhouse. I imagine in the spring, that restaurant is probably really extraordinary to visit. It looks like it has a lot of plant features indoors and outdoors that make it really lovely. And the food was good. I was too scared to try the veal schnitzel. So yes, we went for pork. I'm not picky, but I am a little squeamish.
And guys, we are not trying to gatekeep the name of these places. I think we're just afraid to pronounce them because we know we'll butcher them. So they will be in the show notes, that I can promise you. And then that's it. So Vienna, yeah, I would absolutely go back. I highly recommend it for anyone. 2 or 3 days. I mean, you could certainly enjoy more days than that, but is it possible in 2 or 3 days? Absolutely, yes. Don't let one of them be a Sunday.
Nope.
And then we Ubered back to the airport because we would have ridden the train in the daytime. We left for the airport at like 4:45 a.m. And I didn't want to be walking through a dark city. Not that it's very safe. I mean, it did feel safe overall to us, but I did not want to be going into a train station at 4:45 a.m. in the dark. I was like, you know what? We just need to Uber to the airport.
Yeah, that ended up being the right choice for sure. It was just so much easier to not have to deal with that. I mean, it was a little bit pricey. I think it was about 55 euros to the airport at that time of the morning, which was hard to stomach for me, but definitely ended up being the right choice. Another thing that I think that both of us agreed on is, again, when we're working on such a tight time frame, I think both of us would not do it again unless there was a direct flight from the East Coast. That sucked up a lot of our time, having to spend any time in Amsterdam and change planes. We did it. We made it work. But when all is said and done, if you can find a great deal that goes straight from one of those, you know, IAD or JFK or whatever, that is going to add a big chunk of time into your very limited itinerary.
Yeah. So is Europe possible for a weekend? absolutely yes. But a direct flight is going to be very valuable in that situation, for sure. Where, I mean, even Chicago, even LA, if you're coming from the West Coast, there are some direct flights to Europe. They're not that many more hours than the East Coast flights. I think that would be doable as well, mm-hmm. as long as it's direct and you're not having to connect, because it's tough. I mean, for me, it wasn't so bad. We connected in Amsterdam. It was two flights. For you, poor Joanna, guys, had to get on three flights. It was near 24 hours of travel time.
It was past 24 hours when I got home.
That is intense. That is too much. But we enjoyed it. I'm glad that we did it. And I would do it again.
Yes, I would too. It sure was an adventure. It was an adventure and I loved every minute of it. And even when things didn't go quite right, still incredible. 10 out of 10 would recommend. So we really hope that this episode was helpful for you. What went well? What didn't go well? We hope that you are able to use some of this information to copy it, make your own itinerary. If you are going to go to Vienna, if you're going to stay at the Park Hyatt, we want to know. Tell us in the Facebook group or send us a DM on Instagram. I'm sure we have even more insights that we could offer you if you have any questions. We are always here, always happy to answer those. You can find a link to the Facebook group in the show notes. Make sure you're following us all the places.
All right, guys, we will see you next time.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We hope you learned something new and feel inspired to plan your next trip.
Remember, we're travelers sharing our experiences, not financial advisors. So always do your own research and make informed decisions.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a Points and Miles tip.
We'll see you next time on Wonderland on Points.